Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The haves and the have-nots. So much reporting and conversation about COVID-19. And as we see the pandemic finally winding down, has anyone taken the time to look back at who won and who lost? I'm not talking about health, sickness, and death here. I'm talking about people, businesses, governments that have thrived because of this mess. This is a huge big picture issue as our federal government has used this pandemic to gain power and control over the American people. A week after boycotting Australian content because of a dispute with the government, Facebook backs down and caves in. I predicted this last week. It was so simple. If Facebook was going to gyp its Australian users from content, why would Aussies stay on there? Facebook learned a lesson fast. This is a really good story. Hey, the Royals had their first full squad workout. Manager Mike Matheny has compared it to Christmas morning. I like that. We'll take a look at how spring training is different for the Royals this year and how soon you may be able to go to a game. The Seattle Mariners president resigns after making comments about Spanish-speaking players. CBS Sports has dropped a high-profile football analyst from the NFL booth next year. And is Russell Wilson really on the trading blocks with the Seahawks? Seems impossible. All ahead on KKHI, brought to you by Back9Development.com. Back9 Development's a real estate development company, as well as a licensed general contractor. They specialize in custom building. You want to see some great-looking custom homes? Go to the website, Back9Development.com. That's the numeral 9, Back9Development.com. And you can check out the Solheim at Grand Mirror. I've got a friend who is looking into doing this. He goes to a lot of K-State games. He's a member at Colbert Hills. They go and play golf there, and he does a lot of business in Manhattan. And he's got a daughter that in just about 4 years may be going to college, and maybe that's K-State. And he's like, hey, this could be a good entry-level investment. The condominiums, the Solheim at Grand Mirror, they start at $249,000. Perfect for a second home if your college kids are on the way, or as an investment property. Check them out online at back9development.com. That's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Or personally call the owner. TJ will take your call at 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161. If you twist TJ's arm just enough and you go out there and you want to look at where your condo may be, he'll probably take you golfing. I'm just saying. Man loves to golf and he's a pretty good player. That's back9development.com. The Solheim at Grand Mirror. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers say we just make it easy at Roberts Robinson. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Full line of Buick SUVs and, of course, all the great trucks there from Chevy Silverado to GMC. It's all there. The Sierra Denali is what I'm driving right now that Mike has sent over. It has so many awesome features in it. And it was really great during the snow. We used it a lot the last couple of weeks. We have three cars right now because this one's on loan. He just wanted me to drive it. I couldn't have gotten a Sierra Denali at a better time. We had snow and cold for how long? And this baby just rips through it. Hey, listen, we didn't have a foot of snow, but it was still nice to be in a big four-wheel drive. What a difference that made for us over the last couple of weeks. And if you're looking for a work truck and or an office space, really, if you're in the business of working, and we know a lot of people in the construction business or painting business or different things like that, this is your best office space, the Sierra Denali. It is comfortable. It is a beautiful truck, gorgeous, and it does everything you need it to do if you work for a living. Check it out at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. You will not get treated better anywhere in the Midwest. I can promise you that, and they have the lowest prices anywhere as well. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Chevrolet, find new roads. And bstock.net, they're an online electronics store. You will save money no matter where you live or listen to this podcast. If you order from bstock.net, they'll ship it to you and you're going to get it cheaper than you will anywhere else on the internet. I promise you. Typically 20% or so, sometimes 30%. But if you live around Kansas City, anywhere, it's worth an hour's drive or more to go to Olathe, to 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe, to Bstock's outlet store where you can save huge on all kinds of things, like this week's special, the Samsung curved 55-inch TV, $449. That's $150 less than Best Buy. Right now, curved 55-inch Samsung. He's got plenty of them. If you want to get one of last year's curved models, okay, a year older, it's only $379. You could save another $70. That's $225 less than Best Buy for a Samsung curved 55-inch TV. Brand new, in the box, with warranty. BeStock.net, the outlet store, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Who are the winners of the pandemic? Well, you know one of them's the government. We'll get into that and more right now on KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Well, the haves and the have-nots of COVID-19 continues to be a big story for me. I don't know how much you've seen of this necessarily in your life, but I've seen a lot of it. A lot of people around us have done very, very poorly, maybe the worst of their adult lives over the last year because of either their career, their position, or the business that they are in, that they own or operate or take part in. And some folks we know have had the best year of their lives financially or career-wise. And that'll be a common theme in today's podcast as we see more of the haves and the have-nots. And I believe in the free enterprise system, as I'm assuming you do as well. And I believe we're all responsible for figuring out our own path and following our own way and doing what it is that we want to do. Some people base their career around chasing money and trying to make as much as they possibly can, which is certainly understandable in a capitalist society like this. Others venture off into something that is a calling, that is a passion, that is something that they, you know, desperately want to do as part of their life every single day and don't worry so much about, you know, what it means for them as far as finances or monetary. But one thing that was not arbitrary through any of this was COVID-19, and it just happened. And man, the fallout was not really predictable. I don't think anybody in our lifetime really thought we would see something happen like COVID-19. And I do believe that looking back, most honest people will look back and say it was largely an overreaction, that there were steps needed to take place to protect the elderly and the sick very early on, and would have needed to stay in place through the entire research and development part for the vaccine. But I think we will all look back on this and remember that it was one giant overreaction. And many people gained by the overreaction, and many people were simply completely upended by the overreaction. And there's an awful lot of that taking place still today. One of those taking place, and I'm not disappointed to see this because I've owned the stock before. I don't own it individually right now. I have it in some holdings in some mutual funds and such. So I always like to disclose things like that when I'm talking about companies, just so you know. But it's a company that I'm very fond of. I didn't work there. I know a lot of people that have worked there that say it was incredibly difficult to work there. And my response to that inwardly, I would never say this to these folks, you know, face to face or whatever, because it didn't belong in the conversation. They just talked about how difficult it was. I said, well, that's how it became such a great company. And that's how so many people that have worked there over the years have become millionaires and multimillionaires. And that is true of Kansas City's maybe most prolific company that we have, and that is the Cerner Corporation. The Cerner Corporation is now involved because, remember, Cerner was set up by Neil Patterson, who was one of the great conservatives of our time. I mean, just a tremendous conservative. The business has been passed on. It has been changed over. There are new executives in charge. Cliff Illig, the other co-founder, doesn't have an active role really in the company on its day-to-day operations. So it's going to change, and there isn't much these billionaire families can do about it at this point. And that's typical. That happens with a lot of businesses. When Bill Gates is gone, what happens to Microsoft? You know, when Steve Jobs left Apple, you know, what happened, you know, with Apple and everything that happened there? It turns over to new people, different visions, hopefully keeping some of the same visions of the original founders, but not always. And I've got to think that this thing that Cerner is doing right now would not make Neil Patterson very happy. Would he have done it? Would he have taken part in doing it? Would he have looked at his business and say, look, my business is a cutthroat business, and this business is in business for one reason, and that is to succeed, make a profit, please the shareholders. That is what we do. Continue to employ thousands and thousands of people at a high level, distribute benefits to those folks, and opportunities for them with stock in the company to become millionaires if they stay long enough. Those are all real big things for the CEO of a company or the founder of a company. But I don't think Neil Patterson would be real thrilled that Cerner is now on the leading edge of working on proof of vaccine ID cards. And I understand why they're doing it. And I understand that there's businesses all over America and all over the world that are profiting from the virus in any way that they can. And that's what business does. And I believe strongly in their right to do that. Cerner isn't doing anything illegal here or wrong. The question is it following the path, the moral compass of what the founder, the number one founder, Neil Patterson, wanted this business to be about? Cerner has always been rooted in a tremendous amount of technology and research toward medical privacy. Cerner is a global leader in medical records, housed here in Kansas City and other places throughout the world, but in the caves in North Kansas City where it's the mega computers are all these medical records of millions and millions and millions of people. They know that you got a tetanus shot in 2012, all right? They know that you went to an urgent care or a care facility for a fever in 2009 and got a prescription for that. They know everything about you. And it is inherent and incumbent upon their business to keep that private for citizens all over the world because it is a global company. It is not just American healthcare. Cerner's been based and brought up in this and trusted by medical authorities and governments and governing bodies all over the world to keep it private, to keep it locked away, and to keep it accurate so that we can run data on things and understand science and trends through technology. And Cerner's been at the forefront of all of this. And now they're at the forefront of gathering information on who's getting vaccinated, who has been vaccinated, and turning that information over to governments. This is a big picture question, and I don't have any solutions today. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know what's right or wrong. I haven't gotten the vaccine. I have no plans to get the vaccine unless the government makes me. And by makes me, it's simply if I can't live my life normally without proving that I've taken the vaccine. I mean, it's a big question for me. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm all about vaccines. I've said it many times. I've never taken the flu shot. I'm not afraid of getting the flu. I assume at some point maybe I've had it. My body got some immunity to it, even the new strains that come out every year, because flu isn't really a big thing for me. I don't think COVID is a big thing for me. I'm making my own personal judgments. I know there are side effects with all vaccines. I was vaccinated as a child. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. That's not my thing. I don't run around. I want to change the world and tell people that vaccines are horrible. Vaccines are one of the greatest things human beings have ever come up with. It has saved literally millions and millions and millions of lives through humanity. I'm not an anti-vaccine guy. I am a guy who says, why would I go do anything with a doctor that isn't necessary? I mean, seriously, because I don't know how it's been with your experience. A lot of times I'll go do things to get them fixed or whatever, and it doesn't really get fixed. I have a broken front tooth, and I have a veneer over the broken front tooth. And it's been a problem my whole life because they can never make it look right. Every time it breaks or chips, I have to go in and do it again. It's never really right. It's never the right color, the right shade, the right something. It's always problematic. So I have a little chip on a bottom tooth that I've had for a couple of years, and you largely can't see it. If you went to dinner with me or whatever and you were staring at my teeth, you might be able to see the chip. And my wife always asked me, why don't you go get that fixed? I said, because what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Fill it with some epoxy, fill it with something, and then cover it and try to get it the right shade and do whatever, and then it maybe will look even weirder than it does now. The tooth is functional. It's not a big enough piece out of the tooth, a little sliver at the very tip of it. I'm touching it right now. It's not enough that it bothers me in any way. I don't know that it's there. I eat. I there's just no point. I have a couple of other things that have not been fixed by doctors that are kind of chronic things. I'll live with them. I'm not a run to the doctor. I got friends. Man, I got one buddy that he'll go to the doctor for anything. It doesn't matter. He just runs to the doctor, right? I'm not that guy. So to me, if I can, my big toe apparently has some arthritis in it. I'm not getting it treated. The last thing I ever want to do is have some sort of a foot injury or foot surgery. I've covered sports long enough to know that every time an athlete has, like Patrick Mahomes, I'm a little bit worried. You know, they say he went in and he had toe surgery right after the season. Well, you know what? Feet are maybe the most complicated, other than organs, the most complicated thing you can do with your body because there's hundreds of bones in your feet. And I've watched so many athletes have chronic foot problems and they just don't get better. And I'm not saying that the surgeons aren't good and they don't know what they're doing. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying if I can live with the pain in my big toe, I'm just going to live with it. I'm not going to go carve up my foot, have them grind some bone out on some chance that it will make it better. It's just, I don't see the point. I can live with what I've got. And it's the same way with the vaccines with me. If I don't see a real danger in doing this, why take a vaccine? Why put something in my body that's having side effects, that's not altogether proven, that's new? I don't see, that's my choice. Your choice, you want to go get it? Great, good for you. I love the vaccine, by the way. I love it. And I'm thrilled my mom has had it. I've expressed that. And I'm okay with anybody getting it, and especially the people that are scared. If it makes you feel better that you got it, go get it. But this Cerner being involved in proof of being vaccinated has me worried. And we're seeing now a lot of companies and a lot of governments capitalizing on COVID-19. And as we talk about the haves and the have-nots, clearly the haves, if we step aside from our own personal lives and we step aside from business, clearly the number one winner globally in all of COVID-19, the haves, not the have-nots, the haves, the number one have on this entire planet is governments that seek control because they're getting it. They're getting it everywhere. They're getting it right and left. Last night, Naomi Wolf was on Fox News Channel with Tucker Carlson. She's a former advisor to Bill Clinton. She is a Democrat operative. She is a liberal to the core. To the core. And as we sit here and we watch Cerner Corporation team up with Bill Gates and Microsoft to deliver a vaccine card and deliver the information to Bill Gates and Microsoft to carry a card and say, here's what you've got, I'm going to read for you 10 rules that Naomi Wolf has written in her book. This is at a time she wrote this book where she was worried about right-wingers, conservatives, taking over governments and becoming totalitarianists. She was worried about conservatives taking full control with military power and control of places like the United States. She was worried about places like Russia. She sees places like China and Venezuela, basically communist states. She sees them and has authored this book that is, and look, the book can be reduced down to this list of 10 things I'm going to read for you. Very short things. They're a list. I'm not reading you 10 paragraphs. It's a list that Naomi Wolf has in her book. Remember, she is far left. And she says that we in the United States are bordering on a coup situation and a police state under the guise of a medical pandemic. She believes there is always a small window to avoid this happening in the United States or elsewhere. And it doesn't matter whether the threat comes from the left or the right. The actions are always the same. And in this case, she's calling out the left, which is her side. And she has said, this is not what I signed up for. When she heard Biden after he was elected say that he was in favor of lockdowns, she quickly tweeted, I would never have voted for this man if I thought he was in favor of lockdowns. That's not being a Democrat. That's not liberalism. This is all done under what she says the guise of a medical pandemic. She goes on her Twitter account. She eats out where she can with her husband and says, look at us rebel Americans going to a restaurant, you know, risking all of humanity. She's really making fun of this, and she recognizes this is not a liberal cause. This is really important. She is a liberal to the core. And she does not believe in what's going on because it is not a liberal cause. It is a power play. And she recognizes it for what it is. And we see companies doing this. As I mentioned, Cerner and Microsoft, if they're going to get together on this vaccine card, that is a play for more power. It is corporate power. It is money. It is working with governments. It's benefiting with the people in power that if and when they are in control, they are on your side. And that is happening for Cerner Corporation with COVID-19 and the Democrats. It's new business for all of them, which means new power for all of them. And it's disappointing. Here's what Naomi Wolf has said. She says there are 10 things that have to happen for a totalitarian regime to take over, for a police state to happen, for total control of the government 10 things have to happen, and she claims we are at the doorstep of step 10. Step number one, I want you to think about this. The Democrats have done all this over since Obama became president, but most of these largely since Trump took over. This was their play. It was always about overthrowing him and getting him out and a coup. I think we all saw that. They tried to overtake Trump in any way they could. They finally got the pandemic and used that to do it. Here are the 10 steps. Number one, invoke internal and external enemies. Well, they've done that. The internal enemy is Donald Trump. The external enemy is COVID-19. You create prisons and holding places for your enemies. Well, they've certainly done that. They're jailing people that went to the Capitol. They're not jailing people that have burned police stations and killed people and looted and done billions of dollars worth of damage in our cities in the name of BLM or Antifa. You have a paramilitary force not answerable to citizens. Okay, they've done that. We have guards around the Capitol in Washington, D.C. That's a military force that's not answerable to the citizens. A domestic military force that is not answerable to the citizens. They've done that, and they've solely and strictly done that because they're in charge. You develop internal surveillance systems. They've certainly done that. We saw all that come out through the work of the FBI against Donald Trump and in favor of the Democrats in getting elected. This is proven. This is not speculation. It's proven. Now's where it gets to the really important stuff. That's just implementing things right there. They've done that. They're in charge. They're in power. They've implemented things. Not much you can do. This is the really heinous part, if you ask me. Number five, you infiltrate and harass citizen groups. Well, that's correct. They've done that. They're harassing citizen groups. Largely, they're harassing Trump voters. Infiltrating was Antifa scattered in with Trump supporters that stormed the Capitol. We still don't know the identity of the police officer that shot the Air Force veteran and killed her. They will not release the identity. We still do not have the identity of the person or the background of the person that placed explosive device by the Democrat headquarters and the Republican headquarters in D.C. Ask yourself why. If clearly it was a Trump voter that planted those explosive devices, we would absolutely know who that person is by now and everything about them. We would know that. So ask yourself why we don't know the identity of that person. Infiltrate and harass citizen groups. That's happening. Arbitrary detention and releases. Absolutely. We're seeing this at the border. All right? The law says you can't come into this country, and if you are, you're detained. Biden says, we don't care. We're going to let you walk in, even if you haven't had a COVID test, and release you into the public. Arbitrary detention and release. Completely arbitrary. But we're going to arrest the Trump people from January 6th and keep them in jail for a long time. Seven, this is where it gets important. You target key individuals. And this is why they're after Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz. Trump isn't there now. So they can't, they're still targeting Trump. He's a key person. They'll still target him. And they are. And they're talking about criminal charges. You constantly target key individuals. They really want to get after Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz because they want to tamp down the threat of any other Republican politicians moving to the right and calling them out on what they're doing. They love the Mitch McConnells of the world. They love the Mitt Romneys of the world. We can live with those guys. We won't target them. We target Josh Hawley. We target Ted Cruz. We target Donald Trump. And you know the private citizens they've harassed. We've seen those people. The Roger Stones, the Steve Bannons, all kinds of people in private life have been targeted as key individuals by this coup, basically. Number eight is maybe the single most important one. The eighth thing you have to do to get control and become a totalitarian state is to control the media. Well, they've got that, but they're not stopping there. They're actually working toward trying to make it illegal for cable companies to allow conservative voices on cable systems. They want Fox News banned. This is unbelievable. It's happening right before our eyes, folks. This is happening in America. Number eight, control the media. Well, they've got about 90% control of it. They want 100% control. Number nine, portray criticism as espionage, dissent, and treason. Well, we've heard all those names. We've heard that. We've heard dissent. We heard all the different words they use about attacking the Capitol. We have certainly heard the word treason. Donald Trump, treason. Impeach, treason. Donald Trump, impeach, treason. Portray criticism as things they are not. And then number 10 is the hardest one to do, because hopefully the American citizens and our courts and judges will help in this regard. Number 10 is subvert the rule of law. There are all kinds of places where they're subverting the rule of law, with mask mandates, with lockdowns, with all these different things they have done. There's nothing legal about them. They changed the voting system in this past election. There is no question that states, governors, with the stroke of a pen, broke state law or altered, went against state law and said, no, we're going to allow all this mail-in balloting. Because I'm a Democrat governor, and the House and the Senate are Republicans, and we have a law on the books. I don't care. Stroke of a pen, we're allowing 10 million mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania. We're going to allow it. And they couldn't stop it. That's subverting the rule of law. It's happening everywhere. And Naomi Wolf, and I hadn't read these 10 things until last night. I hadn't read these. I'm like, oh my God, she's right. All nine have taken place, and there's plenty of places where we can look at 10 taking place. The question is, are we going to do anything about it? Question is, what can we do about it? Anybody that stands up to it gets canceled or jailed. We can't do this with violence. We can't go take our guns and storm the streets and say we're not going to take it anymore. You just can't do it like that. I don't have a solution. I don't know. But I know she wrote this book 15 years ago, and I know she's been a Democrat her whole life. And I know that if she wrote this thing, that means people like her, people in charge now, have been thinking about this for decades, that this has been the plan, that this goes back to, you know, the radicalization that Obama had when he was in college, that AOC talks about radicalized now, that this is what they talk about. They've implemented 9 of the 10, and they're starting to kick the door down on number 10, and we're seeing it everywhere, and it's scary as hell. I mean, it really, truly is scary. How do they get by with this? Well, they pass things like a $1.9 trillion stimulus plan. And they send money to 90% of the people. And when you send checks to 90% of the people, and you're doing all this other nefarious stuff, they give you a pass. I got a check. I'm cool with them. I don't pay that much attention to it. I don't really know what's going on. I don't really care. I'm glad I got a check. Thank you for the check. 90% of Americans will receive checks. Only about 20% of the stimulus will go to the American people. The other 80% is frivolous. I mean, 4% of the thing, of almost $2 trillion, goes to vaccine and research programs. Wouldn't you think that more than a quarter of this bill would have to do with COVID-19? And it really doesn't. It's minority programs. It's states getting bailed out. Blue states that are broke getting bailed out. Amtrak and the post office getting bailed out. The things that are in this are staggering. In fact, there's a story out this week that Utah, the state of Utah, has a $1.5 billion surplus this year. They just reported this. And people are saying, well, how is that possible? And they said, well, we run on a budget here. We have a budget amendment. We stay within it. We were going to have a slight surplus anyway. We didn't lock down. We locked down for just a few weeks and opened right back up. We ran business as usual. We have the lowest unemployment in the country. The federal government sent us money in stimulus plans, and we just put it in the bank. We didn't need it. We didn't really need the federal money. We have a surplus. Flip side of that, California, New York, they're getting bailed out. They're going to get back to close to square one so they can rack up giant deficits again. Texas, it is reported, will receive maybe about $1 billion. And Texas is going to read double digits in the billions. I think somebody reported they might be getting $11 or $12 billion. It's based on the size of your state, and they only need $1 billion. Texas really only needs about $1 billion to fix what ails them from COVID-19. And they're going to get 10, 12, 14 times that. It's going to happen in a lot of places. These states aren't going to turn it down. I'm not smart enough to tell you the long-term ramifications of doing this. All I know is if you want to implement these 10 things and take over complete control, one-party rule of a country, and take it over for good, that while you're doing things that people should really hate that you're doing, even people like Naomi Wolf, who died in the wool liberals, I mean liberal to the core, seeing that this is un-American and unjust and socialist and chaotic and totalitarian, that you can get away with doing this as long as you're paying everybody to like you. And that is exactly what's going on in the United States of America, and it's scary. The kids in San Diego are finally playing sports. 11 months lockdown, no sports. A judge in San Diego this last week finally opened up sports and said, listen, I don't care what the state is saying. We here in San Diego County are going to open this thing up to these kids to go play. We have seen enough that sports is not dangerous. It's been happening. We were wrong. The judge basically said, we were wrong in California. We have watched kids play sports all over America, and it's not harmful. Kids aren't dying. Kids aren't getting sick. There's nothing harmful about this. We're going to do it basically like the sports leagues did it. We can have some distancing for parents at the events, but let the kids play. Wear your mask if you're a parent in the stands. Great, but let the kids play. So we finally have some common sense taking place, even in places like California, where they finally have kids playing sports. It's proven these states were wrong. They were wrong. There was no benefit in blowing up their economy. It was a power grab, and now they're getting bailed out economically by the federal government. It is an absolute shame. It's a crime. It's just awful what's happened, what these people have done. Facebook is caving in Australia. I like this story. If you've been listening to the podcast frequently, you know that we've talked about what's going on in Australia with their conservative prime minister. He has said what Facebook and Google and the others, Twitter and whatnot, have done in the United States, that's not happening here. We are not allowing them to control the media in this country. We are not allowing them to pick and choose what they want to boost and put up and filter through. They have passed all kinds of sweeping laws in Australia that the entire world is watching, and they have said, you're going to pay for Australian publishing content. So if you're in news or whatever, the biggest paper in Sydney, for example, you have to pay, if you're Facebook, for that information. If you're going to have that shared and be a news platform and distribute their work, you're going to pay them for it. And Facebook and Google have fought back, and Google kind of caved early and threatened some stuff and then didn't. And Facebook last week said, that's it, we're out. We're not going to share any news content. We're not going to share any government protocols, safety information, EMTs, storm sirens, fire alarms, none of that. Anything government-related or media-related is out on Facebook in Australia. We're just going to filter it out and let it just be a true social platform. And if you listened to the podcast last week, I said, hey, what the hell's wrong with these Facebook people? I mean, these are really smart people that built this company and run. They're a lot smarter than me. Man, they're lacking in something when it comes to common sense, because here's the problem. If you do that to the people in Australia, they're going to stop using Facebook. And in a week's time, the people of Australia said, blank you. We're not using it. Facebook's useless. This is not what we use it for. We don't like this. You're not going to filter and tell us what we can share and what we can do between one another. And if you do, we're going elsewhere. And they went elsewhere. And 1 week later, Facebook has caved and come to the table and said, okay, we'll work out a contract where we pay for content in Australia. Here's the crazy part. This is a far-right conservative prime minister and a conservative government in Australia. This is where Springsteen was going to go live if Trump won. He was going to conservative Australia. I love it. I mean, Poland's really conservative. They're doing the same kinds of things in Poland. The same thing. They said, hey, we were under communist rule for 45 years. Freedom of speech is a big deal to us. We're standing for it. We're not giving in or giving up. Australia's doing the same thing. These countries are all fighting harder than America. All of them. Because we're complacent, largely, as a population. We take our rights and our liberties and our free speech for granted. While they're being attacked, people don't take this stuff seriously. because we've never known anything else. We've never had it taken away or threatened. And there will be a tipping point where people will wake up and see it. But we don't have that long to get to that point. The craziest part with all these conservatives in control in Australia and this conservative effort to slam big tech and social medias, this is great. The American media is on their side. There's stories everywhere about this. They're reporting about it right and left. Why? Because they want this in the United States. This will be the next push. If you're CNN, if you're the New York Times, if you're the San Francisco Chronicle, if you're any of these media outlets, your publishers, if this were to go in effect in the United States, Google and Facebook and Twitter and all of them would have to pay the publishers to share the information. Think of it as a rights fee. CBS Sports pays the NFL $1 billion a year to have the rights to show the football games. It's the same thing. It's a rights fee. When all of our communication through these platforms is sharing media stories with one another, which is what a lot of it is, a lot of it, not all of it, a lot of it is sharing publications, publishing media. If they're going to have the right to do that as a platform, they should have to pay for it. They should have to pay to the originators of the content. I believe that. And now the liberals in the media want this to happen, a very conservative premise. They're behind because it's their industry and it means more money for them. It's amazing how fast politics goes to the wayside. That is the theme today, the haves and the have-nots. And right now, a lot of media outlets are the have-nots, especially local papers. They are not surviving. They certainly are not thriving. If they can get to where when their content is shared free on social media platforms, they get paid by those platforms for having it shared and published elsewhere, it will save their companies. So to heck with liberalism. That's gone. At our core, we are capitalists. We are all about capitalism, is what we find out with the liberal media, because they're run by major corporations that are capitalists. It's crazy. It's crazy what's going on out there. The haves and the have-nots. Okay, a couple of other news items that don't fall into that category today before we get into the sports. El Chapo's wife, you guys know who El Chapo is, right? The drug lord, the Sinaloa cartel. He's in jail for a long time. El Chapo's wife has been arrested in Virginia and will appear in court in Washington, D.C. Federal charges of multiple crimes, drug ring stuff, that's 5 years old. Emma Coronel Aspura is a Mexican-American citizen. She has dual citizenship, and she is married to El Chapo, who's in jail. And she flies back to Dulles Airport in D.C. and is picked up and arrested in Virginia on these crimes from 5 years ago. I'm only asking the question because I just, it's like Facebook. People are really smart. El Chapo is apparently brilliant. Now, he's caught this time, and I don't think he's ever getting out. He's finally caught, but I don't think there's anybody questioning that the man was brilliant. Ruthless, murderous scumbag, but brilliant all at the same time. Beautiful young wife. She's now 31. That means she was 26 when she committed these crimes, these alleged crimes. She's 31 years old, and I guess there's the possibility that she's going to be killed if she doesn't do exactly what they tell her to do, but it doesn't appear she's been committing crimes since El Chapo's been in jail. And it's been reported widely that he does love her. He does love her a lot. And she visits and whatever. And, you know, so she's his wife. And I think it's a strange, unique, bizarre relationship, but it exists. She gets picked up in the United States and arrested. And I'm just going to ask you, because if these are smart people, what the hell is she doing in the United States? I know she's a dual citizen and she can go back and forth. Why? Why, when you know the Mexican government isn't really after you and the United States government is, why? Why is she on our soil? What was he thinking? What are they doing? I don't think she's running any operations now. Why is she going back and forth? Did she do this on her own? Were they making her? Was it in her interest to, is it about visiting him? What is this about? Man, this is going to be bad. She's going away for a long time. She's truly going away for a long time. And this is the most unbelievable trend we have in America going on right now. Gender reveals. You're going to have a baby and you do a gender reveal. The Mahomeses did this. It was not like some of these others, but apparently there's a massive trend that the dads now are really getting involved. The dads really like being involved in the gender reveal, and it's gone viral. Everybody's gender reveal is on social media, so people are seeing this all over the country. And the bigger and bolder, the better. And they like to use pyrotechnics. They like explosions. They like balloons, confetti cannons, anything that goes, pew, here's how we're doing our gender reveal. So the dads are trying to make it really outrageous and put it on TikTok and things like that. Well, 28-year-old Chris Peckney of Liberty, New York, died this week when his gender reveal went bad. He was building an explosive device for the show. When it detonated and killed him, and his brother, who was standing near him, was sent to the hospital. This is not an isolated incident. The family called it a freak accident. It is not a freak accident. It's happening everywhere. This just in. If you are building an explosive device, it is not a freak accident if the device goes off while you're building it. It's not. It's just not. Earlier, a Michigan man was killed by an exploding cannon. There was metal shrapnel coming from an exploding cannon at a gender reveal. He was 15 feet away from the cannon, and it killed him. Why on earth was there metal in the exploding cannon for the gender reveal? I suspect it was supposed to shoot a bunch of confetti out, but somehow some metal got down in there, was fired at him, and it killed him. It also injured another person. In California, at a gender reveal party, the pyrotechnic device set fire to some stuff, and the wind blew it, caught a tree on fire, and it rolled into the forest and created wildfires in California. So we have wildfires being set in California by gender reveals, a man in Michigan killed by an exploding cannon, and a man in New York building his device had it blow up on him. What are these people thinking? What do they say? You can't fix stupid? Oh boy, these 20-somethings, man, they see something online. They see something, they see a cool video, they gotta one-up it. They gotta one-up it, man. And I don't understand it. Sports coming right up, brought to you by Elite Automation. Elite Automation designs and installs intelligent building systems that save you thousands off your utilities. This could be schools, churches, office buildings, any commercial setting can make your building great again. You don't buy a new HVAC system, you get a new control panel. Elite Automation specializes in retrofitting what you already have. It maximizes your comfort and your savings. What's your building costing you? It's a lot. Contact these folks and they can save you money. They'll give you free cloud hosting for a year. If you mention Kevin Keatsman has issues, it's online at eliteautomate.com or call Brad or one of my friends at Elite Automation, 913-766-2188. They also have a free service. It's a consulting service that saves you money and they share in what you save. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in Kansas City for your convenience. That means there's one near you. Your first appointment is always free at Fry Orthodontics. If you'd like to go in and talk about getting your teeth straightened and get that perfect smile, Fry Orthodontics is the place to go. 913-469-9191 to schedule an appointment or log on to fryorthodontics.com. At Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start, and fixing your smile is just the start of what they do. Dr. Jeremy Fry and his team are about as philanthropic as any people I've ever met. They have a free braces program. They do all kinds of work with children and people around our area that nobody knows about. I'm going to tell you about some of the things that he does and the camps that he does and the things that they do. I just think you need to know that these are great people at Fry Orthodontics, and they really care about helping kids who are sick, not even in need of braces. There's a lot of charities involved here with sick kids. There's a lot of charity involved here with kids who can't afford braces, fixing their smile for life, and I think that's really cool. That alone is reason to go to Fry Ortho. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. Dave and Cameron are there every day. If you get a hold of Gary Joslyn, he'll tell you some great stories about Between the Lines and our friendships and playing golf. You want to go in there and find Gary, talk to him about that. It'll be a good day for you while shopping at Joslyn's Jewelry in Overland Park. Baseball is at the top of the list in sports. The Royals' full squad has reported. They are all working out. Mike Matheny, the manager, has referred to this as Christmas Day for baseball people. They say it's normal, sort of. Remember, last year, spring training was ended. The games had started, COVID hit, and it was over. And nobody knew what would happen beyond that. So they say this spring training is normal, but they put a comma by it and say sort of. It's very small groups scattered across six fields. Typically at spring training, the major league club or the major league invitees work on two fields. One typically is designed for drills. The other typically is kind of like live batting practice and infield and stuff like that. So one, fundamentals, the other, working on your game. They do it for a while, they switch, they reverse fields, and they go. But there's a whole bunch of guys on each field. Salvador Perez has commented, it's kind of strange. He was in the batting cage, he took his hacks, everything seemed normal, and he turned around and he looked, and he realized there were only two other people there. He's like, well, there are just not very many people here at this field. There were a couple guys shagging balls. There's a couple pitchers on the mound. There's a couple in the cage. That's about a third of what they would normally have on any one field. They're spreading them out that much for COVID. Look, this is great that they're doing that, but it's silly at this point. It's silly. The fact of the matter is, I mean, we know of a lot of Royals that had COVID last year. They were tested for it and had it. I mean, I think they should be doing antibody tests, not COVID tests. Find out who's had it. We're going to see, though, these players will all have the ability to be vaccinated in season this year. We're projecting that everybody that wants to get vaccinated in America should have the ability to be vaccinated by the end of March or mid-April at the latest. That's just a couple weeks into the season. What we're going to have is a whole bunch of players that have been vaccinated. Some may not want to be vaccinated. That's their choice. But they're doing a lot here in sports that they don't really have to do. That's okay. The funniest part is all the staff out there. Like if Dayton Moore goes out and watches practice, he's wearing a mask. You know, most of the staff people who aren't athletes doing whatever are out there. There's a team photographer. There's a couple of reporters. I think they're with MLB and things like that. They're wearing masks. I mean, come on, that's great. You're standing 50 feet away from people in the outdoors in Arizona. I'm going to go down in a couple weeks and go to a Royals game. I want to go to a game. I'm ready to go to a game, and I'm choosing to go to a game in Arizona in the sunshine and watch baseball, and I'm going to go watch the Royals. I can't really go cover them for this podcast. There's no day-to-day covering. I can't go into the clubhouse. I can't do any of that stuff. I'm going to buy a ticket, and I'm going to go to a game. Me and Jessica are going to go. I'll probably take Spence. We're going to go. I'm going to let you know what I see. We're going to do a couple of podcasts from Arizona. It's going to be great. I'm going to get some interviews. They'll be via phone or Zoom or whatever. We'll do it that way, but I'm excited about that. So I'm excited to go down and see the Royals and see what they have because they are an improved team that is showing signs they may have some legitimate pitching. And if you have legitimate pitching, you're a legitimate team. Seattle Mariners president Ken Mather has resigned. I don't know the deep details of this, the deep dive, to say whether this was worth a resignation or not. I do know what he did was kind of silly and stupid. Ken Mather made some public comments at a Rotary meeting about players from the island, Spanish-speaking players that don't speak English very well. But he wasn't, like, mocking them. He didn't imitate them. He was asked about a player, and he goes, well, he's really loud and doesn't speak English very well, was one of his responses when they asked about a certain player. He goes, well, he's a really loud guy, and he doesn't speak English very well. Probably not what you should have responded at the Rotary Club, but he did. He also made a comment that he was tired of paying for interpreters for Asian players. When the Asian players come over, they always require an interpreter. And he told a player, I'm done with this. You're not a good enough player for me to justify paying for this interpreter to be here. And he made the comment that it was amazing how much better his English was when I told him the interpreter was out. This is a fine line. I used to say on the radio, I got a lot of heat for this when Tony Pena was the Royals manager. I told my audience, I was being honest. I said, I am not airing Tony Pena's news conferences. We had a policy after, you know, day games in the afternoon, we would air the manager's news conference after a Royals game. The game would start at 1, it would end at 4, it'd be right in the middle of between the lines, and we'd put the manager on. And you couldn't understand what Tony Pena was saying. And I justified this by saying, look, I have an English-speaking radio show to an English-speaking audience and a manager that when he speaks English, and Tony Pena was a little bit like Salvador Perez. I describe this, and I don't know if this is actually accurate about the tongue. There are people who speak with a thick tongue. It sounds a little bit like this. It's like the tongue is on the side of your mouth. It's not necessarily a speech impediment. I saw a singer the other night. We were watching American Idol that came out and was speaking that way, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. Then when he sang, it went away. I don't know if Salvador Perez has the thick tongue when he speaks Spanish. It could be just a difficult time making the tongue move in the way properly to speak in English. I don't know. All I know is that I took a lot of heat from people in the Hispanic community in Kansas City when I said, I'm not airing Tony Pena's news conferences. I wasn't even picking on him. I wasn't even saying, look, this is all, you know, whatever. It's just my choice. It's my show. My audience is going to turn the channel. I'm not airing that. So I understand this, and I stand by what I did, and I stand by that now. I would not have a guest on this podcast that you have a hard time understanding, even if it's a thick British accent speaking English. I mean, a really thick accent, because sometimes people that are English with big accents that speak fast, you cannot understand what they're saying. You can't. So that's just, it's a decision I have to make with a podcast or a show or whatever. So this guy, this president of the Mariners, made these comments, and he's resigned. He probably should resign. The things he was saying was nothing instrumental to whether or not the person could play baseball. Mine was simply about whether or not they could be part of a radio show. Look, the Mariners would make a decision that this player that doesn't speak English very well is not going to have his own radio show speaking English. All right, there's that decision. That's not racist, right? What is racist? What's too far? What can you and can't you do? Because the Mariners have a program where they try very hard when they sign young Latin players to teach them English. So by the time they get to the big leagues, they can speak English and promote the club to the fans. It's good for business. You're our employee. We would like you to learn English. As part of your training to play baseball in America, we would like you to learn English. They had a rule, I don't know if they still do, on the LPGA Tour. For the Asian, it's largely Asian tour. It's female Asians come to the United States because there's more money here. It's a higher level of competition. And they had a rule at one point, you will speak English to play on this tour. If you're going to come here and win these tournaments, you have to promote our sport in this country. It is not too much to ask. We're at a point where employers are demanding their employees take a vaccine. That's far more egregious than we want you to learn a language. We've all had employers tell us you have to learn a skill to do a job, whether it's this computer program or, you know, these policies or this language. That's perfectly fine and legal. But I would ask you, if making comments about not speaking very good English, and my only comment that I'd have about a guy like Tony Pena is he'd been in America so long and worked around baseball so long and wanted to become a manager, you would have thought a little more effort would have gone a long way. You know, a little more effort to try to do your best. To me, it just showed a lack of effort of trying to do your best, honestly. And if I were going to Mexico to do a radio show, I would have to learn how to speak Spanish to do that. And I would. It may take me years, but if that's the only way I could survive was to go to Mexico and work, I would learn Spanish. 100% would. And I don't think it's too much to ask. The guy resigned, so he feels terrible about what he said. So I'm not going to defend him. He shouldn't have done it as the president of the team because it really doesn't involve whether these players could play baseball well or not. And I think that's the rub on this one. Kansas at Texas Tuesday night. A lot of these podcasts, you listen to them after a game is played. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. We don't do a lot of game previews. This is a fascinating game. These teams are pretty even. Texas shoots the most threes in the Big 12, but they also have the worst defense down low. I think David McCormick could have a big game for Kansas against Texas. Texas just ran Kansas off the floor a couple months ago at the start of the year at Allen Fieldhouse. This is a real test for where Kansas is. We believe they have turned the corner. Their defense is better. KU is not turning the ball over. Texas does not force turnovers. Kansas has shored up a lot of things. They're a 2.5-point underdog tonight, which means basically they're on the road. I like their chance of winning this game. I think they've gotten better. Kansas has covered the spread in 5 consecutive games. I'm going to be watching this one. Kansas at Texas. The battle for second place is on. There's no path for KU to finish second if they lose this game. And we still don't know. Well, that's if Baylor qualifies to finish first. And Bill Self is still trying to find another game for the week between that and the Big 12 tournament. So stay tuned for that. CBS Sports has dropped Rich Gannon from its NFL coverage after a 16-year run. He is 55 years old. Dan Fouts got the axe last year, and I would only state this because I know a lot of you are Trent Green fans, as am I. And the play-by-play guys don't seem to have a shelf life. Like, Kevin Harlan can probably do play-by-play till he's 75, if he wants to. The play-by-play guy, Al Michaels is old. I mean, the play-by-play guys stay forever. But they rotate the analysts a lot, and there's a reason for it. And while it may look like, hey, looky here, they just pick on the middle-aged white guys and roll them out, it's not. There have been black analysts the same way. It goes like this. Rich Gannon's 55, and the NFL is struggling with younger viewers, and younger viewers watching the NFL don't know who Rich Gannon is. And it's a weird sort of existence. And no offense to Trent Green, if he's listening to the podcast, but it exists in his world too. Now, he's really good at what he does. He's incredibly easy to work with. Like, Trent Green is the greatest guy ever. And he does all kinds of extra stuff for CBS because he knows. He's like, I know I'm not Chris Collinsworth. You know, I'm here. I've got this gig. I love my gig. I love what I'm doing, but I'm going to be the guy that works the hardest and is the easiest to work with. That's Trent. And it has served him well to this point. But there comes a point in time where younger viewers don't remember Trent Green playing. And, you know, it's, I guess it would be different if Peyton Manning was 55 and you're a Hall of Famer or something like that. But this is the way the business goes. And Rich Gannon gets the axe this year from CBS. Unbelievably, the Seattle Seahawks appear to be, how would you like to be a Seattle fan? The president of your team in baseball is resigning right before the start of the season, and your football team is attempting to raid Russell Wilson, the franchise, away. The demand is simple. The negotiation starts with 3 first-round picks. The Seahawks are upset with Russell Wilson for verbalizing that he wants a role in picking players on the offensive side of the ball. And he has said some other things, questioning the management of the team. I don't look at Russell Wilson and think he's got Metcalf and he's got Lockett. What does he want? I mean, what does he want to throw to? Metcalf is a freak, and Lockett is really, really good, and they've made commitments to both of them. I don't know what he wants. Russell Wilson's had a completely untarnished image, beautiful image, his entire career. Really great until now, and he's saying things that are uncharacteristic of him, and he is really ticked off the team if they're talking about trading him. I'll believe that trade when I see it, because Seattle could go 30 years without finding a quarterback as good as Russell Wilson. How do you let him go? How do you do it? And if you do, and like you're the Colts and you settled on Carson Wentz, do you feel dumb at that point? You know, these people that have gone out and gotten their quarterback, that have made their trade, you know? If you've got, you know, Stafford's going to the Rams, now they've got him and his contract and all that. Oh, gosh, now Russell Wilson's available? How dumb do you feel that you got in a hurry? I'll believe this when I see it. There clearly are teams out there that do not believe this is going to happen. But some third of the league has inquired about this, and the starting price is 3 first-round picks. Amazing. Okay, we'll finish with the absurd, and this is in Russia. If you think we can save the planet, I mean, we're in deep trouble because the rest of the world is not helping. One of the ways the rest of the world isn't helping is places like Russia, where they have an onslaught. There's a city in Russia where there's a bunch of stray dogs. You know, there's stray dogs all over the world. We don't really have a lot of strays in this country. We're pretty good about this. As volunteers and shelters and all the different things, no-kill shelters, spaying and neutering and all that, stray dogs are a thing all over the world. All over the world. This is in Russia. And they've got packs and packs and packs of stray dogs in this city where there used to be a chemical plant. And suddenly, over the last couple of months, all the stray dogs are pink or blue. I am not kidding. The fur is turning blue or pink. It's stray dogs near a closed chemical plant. And we talk about the environment. Where are the environment people on this? What can we do in Russia? What do they do? Just backfill a hole with a bunch of chemical crap in it? I don't know what's going on. I know this. Dogs aren't supposed to be blue, and they're not supposed to be pink. And they are in Russia. There's your absurd moment for this week at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. As always, thank you so much for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please hit that follow or subscribe button if you get a chance. You'd be helping us out a lot. Or tell another person about the podcast and help them find the follow or subscribe button so they get the notifications when the podcasts are up each and every day. Appreciate that greatly. If you'd like to join as a patron, that's easy. Go to kkhasissues.com. You can sign up for as little as $5 per month. Later on Tuesday, Between the Lines 2.0 with myself and Danny Klinkscale will be up. That is for patrons only every single week. If you want to hear that, go sign up at kkhasissues.com. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.